compassionate and complete services. And now, the fourth generation, Carrie Raisley, has carried on the name while still providing that same Raisley compassion. Carrie Raisley is ready to help you, whether it's pre-need counseling and arrangements or just knowing that she's going to be there when the need for her expertise and service arises. The Edward L. Raisley Funeral Home in the quiet village of Prospect, a choice you won't regret. Call Carrie Raisley today at 865-2442. Let her arrange for you to stop by and discuss your thoughts and needs. That's the Edward L. Raisley Funeral Home in Prospect.
Checking that weather forecast for you. We're going to have beautiful sunny skies. Yep, all the way into possibly Monday, Tuesday, we're going to have beautiful sunshine. And then if you want a white Christmas, it doesn't look like we're going to get it. Sorry, Trace. I know how much you want white Christmases, but it doesn't look like we're going to have a white Christmas. We're going to have sunny skies today, high near 35. Sunny tomorrow, high near 41. Sunday will be sunny, a high near 44. Monday will be sunny, high near 47, and looking all the way to Christmas Day, mostly cloudy, but the high is going to be near 46. Right now, 32 degrees out there, and we made it to, well, we were only 26 for the high yesterday, the low of 7. Yeah, the low today so far has been 13 since early today. Right now, 32, sunset at 4:54. Our weather brought to you by Intersection Community Church.
This weather update presented by Intersection Community Church on Walker Avenue in Butler.
Intersection Community Church invites you to Christmas Eve service Tuesday the 24th at 7 p.m. May the simple joys of Christmas warm your heart and fill your home. Intersection Community Church, 120 Walker Avenue. Worship with us every Sunday morning at 10.
I'm Pat Parker reporting for your noon news this Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. It's the 20th, and we're getting closer and closer to Christmas Day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
You put the pressure on me. I feel like I have to say, like, welcome to the program. And I told you before, I can't go down that low. Dave is the only one who can do that. But welcome to the program. I am Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey today. And we're going to be with you for another hour or so. I'll give you the lineup of what we're doing for this hour. And Pat, what's with the snow? I know you looked over at me whenever you said no snow for Christmas. I had it for like a day. And I walk into this office every year. I tell people all the time that I love the snow. Yes, I do. I do not love the 30 below stuff, but I do love the snow. So every year I walk in here, as soon as there's a flurry, I get our boss. Are you happy now, Tracy? I'm like, yes, I am. Thank you very much. But so, yeah, no snow for this week, but it looks like we're going to have pretty comfortable temperatures. So if you do like it in the 50s, right around Christmas, this is going to be your week. But if you like snow like me around this time, sorry, I don't think we're going to get there. All right, so this hour, what we are going to do, let me go backwards as I always do, because we're going to kind of connect this together with the city hall that we're going to have, of course. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to be talking about the census. And the reason I say we're going to connect that, because we're going to kick off our city hall talking about the census. But Dr. Lehman is going to be in, and he's going to be talking about not only the importance of the census, but give us some details about when it's going to be starting and the notifications. And you know what? When people go door to door anymore, you kind of wonder, okay, who's coming up to my driveway and who's coming up to my house? So we're going to talk about that, because in the process, you may possibly have somebody come door to door, and we'll explain why that is a may or may not. You just got to do the census whenever it comes in, and you won't have anybody at your door. Don't worry about it. Don't panic, but we'll explain it after 1 o'clock. So Dr. Lehman will be up. And then, of course, we have City Council. So we have Jeff Smith here, and we have Mayor Ben Smith here. And so we're going to be talking about a few things with the city council meeting last night. And of course, we've had news stories today. One thing I want to make sure that you do, I always like to tell you what's happening in the community and stuff that we are associated with. Don't forget about the Classroom of the Month, because we go through the holiday season and we're so busy in shopping. And don't forget to nominate your favorite classroom, because we will be pulling a winner for the Classroom of the Month contest this month. And what you do is you go onto butlerradio.com, and you're going to see that apple for the school teachers. You get it. Click on that and nominate a classroom that's in this area. It could be a grandkid's classroom. It could be your kid's classroom. If you're a teacher, I don't care. But then what happens is that winner is going to get classroom supplies from us and Pirates Cove at Conley's Resort, the indoor water park here in Butler County. So don't forget to do that, because we will draw a winner here in a couple of days. All right, so let's get to it. We do have Mayor Ben Smith here. We have Jeff Smith here as well. Councilman, nice to see you.
Good to see you, Tracy.
Yeah, Mayor Ben Smith, nice to see you today.
You too. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. All right, so as I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, in about a half hour or so, when you all are making your way home or to the next part of your day, we're going to have Dr. Lehman in. And so, Jeff, I'm going to turn to you, if I could, and ask you about the census, because I know what I will ask him in about an hour or so is the lead-up is where he is focused, but in the end of it, how does that play a role here? So that's going to be more of a question for you. Is whenever the census is done, how do we get money? You know, do different organizations have to apply for it, or does it automatically come this way?
Well, a lot of the funding that, you know, passes through the county from the state and federal level is based on the population. So the more people you get, the more money you get. Things like some of the different assistance programs, mm-hmm. you know, some of the programs that, you know, a lot of people in Butler depend on. For housing assistance, medical assistance, a lot of that is tied back to the population. So it's really important for Butler to make sure that, you know, we count all of the people. Butler, and you'll hear this when you talk to Dwayne, Butler was one of the target areas because it was one of the most severely undercounted areas in the county. In the last census. So they've made a real effort to work with us. I've probably been working with them for 6 months. We created a citywide complete count committee that works in conjunction with the countywide committee.
And is that just the title of it? Because I know he will mention that too. It's the complete count committee. Is it just the title of the committee?
Yeah, that's sort of their nomenclature for these committees.
All right.
And the committee, our committee, isn't really charged with going out to do the counts. They'll be hiring a lot of people. Most of it's by mail, internet, with follow-up by people. But the big thing that they've asked us to do is assemble a list of all the group homes or places where there's a lot of people living, where a lot of people go. So we've assembled a list of all the places where there's community dinners, any kind of warming shelters, the homes that the county housing has here in town. Mm-hmm. We're giving them a list of those places. And then what they'll do is they'll have census takers go to those places specifically to try to encourage people to complete their census forms.
Because I know when I was doing my research for Dwayne, when he does come up here, this is done online, and maybe there are opportunities for people to go online with these workers, would you think, that may not have computer access, or maybe they're in a home and they don't have their computer with them?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has to do their own census.
Okay.
But I think they will, you know, if people have questions how to do it. You know, everybody, probably within another month or so, people get their first postcard with the link. Then I think there's something like 3 follow-up mailings
that
people will get to do it with the paper form if they want to fill that out. And then the last step is where, you know, what you picture in the books and the stories where people are walking up and down the streets, knocking on the doors, mm-hmm. filling out the forms.
So, and I'll get his opinion as well, but what's your opinion on why don't we do this? Do we not take it seriously? Do we just see it as another piece of mail in you know, a pile of what really is junk mail? Yeah. This is not junk mail, but, you know, do we just get too busy and we just don't do it?
Well, you know, it only happens every 10 years. So, you know, and you probably never even think about it till you're over 20. So by the time, you know, when you're 30, you're getting your first one. And even by the time you're 60, you've only had through three or four of them. So I just don't know that it's people are used to it. And then the other, there is that, and one of the biggest obstacles that Duane and the Census Bureau is trying to overcome is this fear of government intrusion, mm. you know. I'm not telling that government nothing about what I do, sort of attitude. And, you know, I'm sure he will stress that it's safe. Nobody does anything with the information. It's mandated in the Constitution. And
just like a roll call? I mean, have five people in our house, or we have six people in our house, or two people, or...
Yeah, I want to say there's like 10 questions. I could be wrong on that. But it's basically there's a question for every person in the house, or you know, they ask about every person in the house. It's easy to do.
Your life is about finances. So how much more money could possibly come into this county if everybody would just do the census and turn that in?
I want to say that it's something like $20,000 per person is what in Pennsylvania.
Right, right.
He'll probably have a more exact number than that. But it's something like that. That's what every individual is worth, about $20,000, I think, in various programs that they're able to count.
That's a significant amount of money. If you're saying the last time that we did this, we were the lowest or one of the lowest counted. And so if everybody were to do that, that's a lot of money that could come in. And then does it affect city programs or city council in any way, or do you not budget that money?
No. I mean, the city doesn't really get any of that money directly. It's more the people in the city get it. You know, it probably allows the county to help more people mm-hmm. in the city that need it.
Yeah. So, okay. So we'll discuss more with Dr. Lehman here in a couple of minutes. So thanks, Jeff, for answering those questions. Since we're talking money, free. I love talking free things, right? It is the holidays. Tell me about the parking holidays. How long is that going to go with the free parking? Or Mayor, do you want to jump in on that one?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, we have free parking right now in the city at all the metered spots that are not in lots. So if it's on the street and it has a meter, it's free until the beginning of the year, through January 1st. Main Street still has normal two-hour free parking, and the lots, Diamond Lot and the garages are all still metered, or you still have to pay for those as well.
Right, right.
But other than that, yeah, it's free for the holidays. Free for the time of year. Encourage people to come downtown to do their shopping. If you're in town with your family after Christmas, maybe even in between Christmas and New Year's, and you want to go out and do something together, certainly want people to take advantage of that.
Last time I talked to you, we were just about ready to go into the parade.
Yeah,
and boy, good turnout.
Yeah,
another good
turnout. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
City looked nice, and it was just a nice night. The weather held off.
That's
always that tricky. Are we going to get rained on or snowed on? But, yeah. So now, when I'm talking holidays, I'm glad that we are talking about free parking, because just want to mention that the city building will be closed on December 25th and then January 1st. Those are the only dates, right?
Right. I think they may close a couple hours early on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
But I don't know the exact time for sure. But definitely all day on Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
Okay, good. All right, so let's get into a couple of other things. We've been, of course, running our stories with Ryan, our great reporter, covering City Council. He's okay. We like him. We'll keep him. So let me ask you first about the budget, and whoever wants to take this. You're not raising taxes again on this one. And so how did you get to this decision and pass this without raising taxes?
I think all the departments have worked pretty hard to do what they can with the costs. You know, there's a lot of time goes into it from a lot of people trying to figure out what they need. I know we could have definitely used more money. And, you know, sometimes you start running the risk of kicking the can down the street.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the reality is the city can't raise its millage any higher. We're already at the limit. So we're almost forced to live within our means, even if it means cutting out some things that might have been nicer
right.
to have. You know, I mean, my department are the parks and facilities. You know, I had wanted to do more maintenance in the parks because I think, you know, that whole quality of life is a big deal in the city. And when people have nice places to go to, it helps attract people to move to the city. But just had to cut that out this year.
Okay.
So, you know, we did it by just not spending more than what we had. We certainly, if we'd have had the if we'd have had the money, there's a lot of things we probably could have done.
And when you say if we had the money, where could that possibly come from? Or is that a part of the discussion when you're putting the budget together?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the tax-wise, there's limits on what the taxes can be.
Mm-hmm.
We're limited to 30 mils on our general fund taxation. And then we have some other special, you know, there's a part of a mill for the library. There's a millage for streetlights. You know, those there's debt service millage. You know, one of the things that we've talked about, in fact, one of the things that I'm planning on introducing or recommending that we do after the first of the year is, you know, there's a very high percentage of nonprofits in the city that don't pay any real estate tax. And I think we're going to suggest going out to all of them. We've done some calculations as to how much of our millage actually goes to things like fire and safety, fire and police. You know, everybody benefits from fire and police.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, if you're a nonprofit, you could argue you shouldn't have to pay the library or recreation fee. But the fire and the police are something that should fit everybody. So we're going to make an appeal to all the, or I'm going to recommend,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say we're going to, I'm going to recommend to the council that we make an appeal to all the nonprofits that they contribute an amount of money equal to what the millage would be for just the fire and safety.
So each organization would be different because, of course, the money that would come into that
right.
organization, but you're saying there would be a predetermined formula that you could use for
yeah.
each organization.
Well, their property, all properties have an assessed value,
mm-hmm.
and you know that's how you determine your real estate tax. So using the assessed value of all the non-taxable buildings, you know, you could easily come up with that calculation of what their fair share would be. So when we get into things like, hey, we want to buy a new fire truck, I think you can make a pretty compelling case that, hey, you know, everybody benefits from having a fire truck. It shouldn't just be the property owners who are paying taxes that do that. We'd like everybody to contribute to that.
Does that excuse me lend itself to a fear of nonprofits moving out of the city limits into other locations, or is that part of the discussion?
You know, certainly that's their option. Although most nonprofits are in, and there's a lot of different kind of nonprofits,
mm-hmm.
but I think you find a lot of them located in the city because their clients tend to be here.
Okay.
And from a, you know, so it's good that they're here for the residents that use those services, but nonprofits don't really, and they're under no obligation to, aren't in a position where they contribute to paying the expenses of the city.
Yeah.
That ends up being laid off on taxpayers and people that working with their incomes.
And again, that's a It's an ask. It's not a requirement.
Right, right.
We can't require at this point to have those nonprofits or anything pay that.
And that's really only one small. I say small. I mean, money is large, so I don't want to belittle the fact that it's. But it's one piece of the puzzle. You know. Yeah. So, what are your thoughts, Mayor, in just how you kind of piece this together to be able to either get more money into the city or be able to.
Well, I mean, our biggest source of revenue is from homeowners, or not necessarily homeowners, but property owners. You know, you have the property tax, you have the earned income tax. Both those things are huge. Certainly, we want more business in town for people to be able to live here or come here and enjoy, people to work here. But in reality, the biggest piece of the pie comes from people owning or living in the city. And so that's a big piece of it. There aren't a lot of other things that factor into the budget, really. I mean, it's mostly comes from taxes of one way or another. And then there are some services that we provide. You know, if someone is building a new property, they have to pay some permit fees. Those are really, you know, pennies on the dollar when you're talking about the full scope
the
of the budget.
Grand scheme, sure. Yeah.
But they do add up a little bit here and there.
So then let me ask you about the ladder truck, because if we're talking about expenses and financing, and so we are, of course, running the story that Ryan wrote for us about the ladder truck, and you're looking to get into a 15-year lease. How does that roll into the budget? Did that play any role in deciding what next year's budget would be?
So not for next year, not for 2020, because, excuse me, every time, Tracy, every time.
I know, it's you and me, right? Right? I'm sharing my halls with everyone.
So the first payment for the ladder truck, if we ordered it right now, still mm-hmm. wouldn't come until 2021. It takes about a year for those trucks to be built, and they do have a pretty big price tag between $1.3 and $1.5 million for a ladder truck, which when you think about the fact that it's something you're going to have for 20, 30, 40 years, potentially 40, it's usually not that long.
That's the goal, but yeah.
It makes, you know, it doesn't seem as bad. Mm-hmm. But all at once, yeah, it's a big hurdle to get over. So for 2020, we don't have that in the budget. It's not there. But for 2021, when that will come into effect, when we receive it, and hopefully, you know, that's when the payments will start. Things like what Jeff's talking about, of making a more concerted effort to go out and ask nonprofits and other people to contribute more, that's, of course, a gamble. You know, mm-hmm. that's not something that's guaranteed. We're hoping that people will do that. But we also have some things in the budget that are in there for 2020 that won't be in there for 2021. You know, we have some vehicles for different departments that are getting purchased that we won't have to purchase again the next year. And there's always little places where, you know, maybe next year we have a big project in a certain area that we know we need an allotment for, but the year after that we don't have that. So that's part of it. The fire and safety pilot is part of it as well. And then, you know, there's some other resources that we can work towards to make sure that we have those funds.
Well, and sticking with the budget thought for a moment, are there any other programs that if we're not going to city council meetings and we're not paying attention to this as often as we should, would we be surprised because of the budget being passed that have either been reduced or, like Jeff was saying, some things were taken out? Would there be anything that we would be surprised by or
I don't think anything that the average citizen has any clue about, you know. Not to say that they shouldn't. I'm just saying,
all things are important. It's just if, you know, there was a program we were planning on going tomorrow and it's not going to be there.
No, and there's a few programs we were really passionate about preserving, too. Mm-hmm. One of them being the program for the kids to be able to go swimming that we've talked about in the past with Dave. And Jeff's really taken the lead on that. But making sure that the bus transportation is provided, that admission to the pool is provided up in Alameda, so that we can send our kids. And Jeff, I think you have some numbers on what that ended up being. So those are things we tried to preserve.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, just as an example. And yes, we don't want to paint too gloomy of a picture.
Right.
Because we did fight to make sure that stayed in. That, like this year, it was a 10-week program, and we had over 500 admissions. And the first couple weeks were sort of slow, but we averaged over 50 kids a week. Had the opportunity to go swimming out of the city this year, so we made sure that stayed in. We're doing some talks now about expanding to having some sort of basketball program, tournament, for the kids in the city. So we put a couple thousand dollars extra in to do that. So, you know, and those are like the really visible things. When I said we took out a lot of money on the maintenance, that would have made it nicer, but people don't necessarily notice when you don't do something right. You're going to.
Right.
So in fact, they may actually see, you know, if we do the are able to do the basketball thing, we'll actually have enhanced our summer program despite holding the budget down. It's just the things that we don't do that people won't miss because
they don't see.
You don't miss right. what you never had.
Right, that's true. That's right. Yeah. So we only have actually a couple minutes left with you. I just want to make sure that we mention the local firefighters union. That agreement is now in play as well. Any thoughts on that?
The new union contract, it goes into effect January 1.
With Local 114, yeah.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we were able to work together with them through the year to be able to come up with a new contract. Their contract previous was for 2 years, and it expires at the end of this year. And so we got that finalized. There's some really good things in there. They got some better raises than they've had in the last couple of years, which is great for them. We got some ability for some movement on the pension side of things so that for future firefighters who come in after January 1, a couple things will change, but they still have a great plan, and it also helps out the city's finances as well. So really happy with that. Really happy we were able to work together. You know, we didn't have to go to arbitration or anything like that.
Right, yeah.
We were able just to sit down over four, five, six meetings, hash things out, go back to our individual groups, you know, either the firefighters or council, and talk through those things and work it out so that we have a new 5-year agreement starting in January.
And if I could just throw in, mm-hmm. I think the mayor and Corey Roach, who's since moved on, you know, they really took the lead on the negotiations. And you don't have to go too far back in the past when the relationship between the firefighter union and the city wasn't everything that it maybe could have been. And I think over the last 2 years and with this contract, those guys really deserve a lot of credit for really helping the city and the firefighters to become more of a team looking at what's best for the city.
Absolutely. I know a lot of people automatically hear that people are getting pay raises, but how that works is, what, 3% in that first year,
mm-hmm.
and then it's going to step up from there. Is
step,
that right?
It actually steps
or
down.
Or steps down. Yeah, that's yeah. right. Thank you for the correction.
Yeah. So the raise percentages are front-loaded, so they get 3% the first year, and by the fifth year, it's 1%.
Yeah.
So it is, I think it's about 10% over 5 years. It's not 10% of their whole, of course, but
right.
it's a total of 10%.
But that was after being virtually flat for the last 2 years.
Right. I think it was 0.75% yeah. or something
yeah,
like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's not even quite what most people would call a cost of living raise,
mm-hmm.
At least as far as the total. And I know that some people are able to get raises every year at work. Some people aren't. But this is pretty standard as far as the average for the history of the city and the contracts.
Very good. Mayor Ben Smith. Jeff Smith as well, Councilman Jeff Smith. We are out of time. Anything else you want to just leave us with before we leave today?
I just think Dave needs to start worrying about his job.
We love you, Dave. Although I can't say welcome back to the program. I can't. Yeah. Mayor Smith.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate
thank you very
it.
Much. Yep. Have a good holiday, both of you. And folks, thank you very much for sticking with us for this half hour. Yes, we are going to continue with the census conversation, and we're going to get into this with Dr. Lehman, who is what he focuses on, and he's going to talk about that front end of the census and why it's so important and the process and how you do it. So let's take a break for just a moment. We'll be back on the other side with more It's Your Turn. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course. Also, emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available. Also, prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive.
Armco Credit Union has one sweetheart of a holiday gift for you this year. The event you waited for all year long starts a week early. They've slashed auto rates. Starting December 25th through February 29th, you can get an auto rate as low as 1.99% annual percentage rate. Check out armcocu.com or call 724-284-2020 for credit cost and terms. Armco Credit Union is closed Christmas Day, but you can still apply for a loan online or on the mobile app in three easy steps. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Cohen Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time from trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Cohen Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Cohen Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Cohen Postal Butler.
Welcome back to the program. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey this afternoon. All right, so we have a half hour left with each other, and what we wanted to do is spend our last few minutes here talking about the census. Now, it's something that we hear a lot about. Do you pay attention to it? Do you know the importance of it? And we're going to talk about that with Dr. Dwayne Lehman. And he's with us today. He's a partner specialist with the U.S. Department of Commerce, the Bureau of Census. And so I know this isn't starting this year. We only have a couple days left in the year. But you're going to start getting notices, and he's going to explain to us why you're getting those notices, how many notices you'll likely get. You only have to do the census once. And then we're going to talk about the importance of what that census means to us here in the county, in the city, and why you need to really be a part of this census. All right, so Dr. Dwayne Lehman, thank you so much for being here with me today. Appreciate
Thank you
time.
For having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, you were explaining to me off the air on how there's a county level at this, there's a city level at this. Can you explain what that means?
So each county within the state of Pennsylvania has a complete count committee. And that consists of your county commissioners, your municipality officials, business leaders, education leaders, whether it be a superintendent or a principal, other religious institutions, community service organizations that come together and try to focus their energy on spreading the word about the census, to raise education, to answer questions, and really try to get the message out that the census is easy, safe, and important, particularly for this decennial census.
Is it easy, safe, and important? Because I ask that, and I think I'm a typical person out there that, yeah, we hear about this all the time. But how many people don't take it very seriously?
We're hoping that everybody takes the decennial census seriously and completes the decennial census when they're notified. I can tell you that it's easy because there are numerous ways that you complete the decennial census this year. You can complete it online. Mm-hmm. You can phone it in, and then you can also complete the hard copy, the
okay.
traditional copy. It is safe. We do not share any information with any other federal or state agency, and that includes the IRS, the FBI, the ATF. We only collect personal information to meet our mission of counting everyone living in the United States, count them only once, and count them in the right location. After that, we create a statistical package that we deliver to the president 9 months after Census Day. And that is your typical ordinal, nominal, and ratio data. And then it's important. There is obviously it's our voice at the federal level in the House of Representatives. We know that in 2000 the state of Pennsylvania lost 2 seats. In 2010 we lost another seat in the House of Representatives, and that is based on the decennial census information.
Okay, so we'll get to that information in just a second. Okay. But let me back up for a moment, because when you talk about that there are different ways that we can go ahead and complete this census. Mm-hmm. But you and I were talking off the air, which I want to get into, is that we're going to get notified multiple times. Okay, so that's going to get a little confusing, because do I fill it out twice? Do I fill out that hard copy and go online? You know you're going to get those questions.
Right, and you only have to complete the decennial census once. Around the week of 13th March 2020 is when 95% of residencies will receive their first notification. From there, they will have a code that they can go online and complete the decennial census at that time.
Notification via mail?
Yes.
Okay. No phone calls?
No.
Okay.
From there, there are 3 follow-up notifications, somewhere around the 1st of April, which is National Census Day, and then again around mid-April and then the end of April. So there's 4 notifications. The last 3, from my understanding, are going to be envelopes with the traditional hard copy in it. And so you have the option to complete it online, complete the traditional hard copy, or call it in.
So if we get that first notification and we're right on top of it and we go online, we take care of it. Once we get that third notification, will it still come, or will it somehow register that I've taken this census and I won't get any more notifications?
Once you complete the decennial census, and it's a timing thing.
Sure.
And so once you complete the decennial census, we indicate that you've completed it. So you should not receive any more notifications. But again, it's based on timing. If you complete it close to 1 April or that week when that second notification already goes out, then you may receive a second notification.
So for 2 minutes past the deadline, we may be notified.
Whenever the cutoff is.
Now, is there information on there that we can call, contact, email, just to ask questions, just to verify that, yes, this is coming from officials, and also I have already filled it out. Do you have my registration that I'm already done with this? I mean, you're going to get a lot of questions. Where do we contact you all?
So a lot of information that you're looking for is going to be at 2020census.gov. Website, it has a ton of information, whether you're a normal resident living in Butler County or the surrounding area. It has information. There's a sample form on there that shows you what questions we'll be asking on the decennial census, and an FAQ that actually indicates a lot of the questions that you're asking. And that is probably the best source for people to go to.
So what is on the census? And I ask what is being asked, because some people don't fill out the entire thing, because there are many myths out there of what the census could do. Like you said, you don't share the information, where maybe people think you do share the information with other government entities. So first question is, what's on the census that we answer? And second question is, can you dispel some of the myths that you've heard throughout your time in being in the position that you are?
So the questions basically on the census, and again, the sample form is at 2020census.gov, and does ask for the head of household's name, their age, their date of birth, ethnicity, race, do you own your home? And those
it's a quiz.
Are,
I'm putting, yeah, I'm putting you on the spot.
And a few more questions.
Okay.
We will not ask for Social Security numbers.
Okay.
We do not ask for any checking accounts or any financial information on the decennial census. And I think that's one of the big myths that are out there. We do not ask if you are a citizen. We do not ask if you own any weapons or any of those questions.
So why does that play a big role when it comes down to the end? You're talking about losing seats, but then I'm also interested in the financial aspect of this to our own county, to our own city. Why do those questions make it important on a census for the data that is the result?
So it's important because not only does it determine the number of seats in the House of Representatives at the federal level we get. The decennial census information that we collect is actually used for decision-making over the course of the next decade for your municipalities, your counties, and the state. We also use the decennial census information for state redistricting lines in the state of Pennsylvania. And there's also $675 billion that the federal government allocates back to the states. And those are for your programs, Medicare, Medicaid, highway and infrastructure grants, your education grants, your social services such as WIC, Head Start, and a lot of school programs. There's over 300 programs that the federal government allocates funding for. And so having a complete count in Butler County assures that we get the allocation that this county needs.
If the county does not fill out these the census questions completely, or not everyone turns them in, how does that affect what the government is looking at? Are they seeing in their eyes there's not a need in Butler County, so therefore they don't need the money? Or are they seeing the greater need because of the data that is coming through?
From my understanding, is a lot of the times that funding is based on population or the numbers that we generate through the decennial census.
So if they're not seeing the amount of people we have in the county, they don't see, I don't want to speak for them. I'm not trying to, you know, take words out of their mouth. I'm just saying that they don't see the numbers that actually live here, then it reflects that we don't have a higher population than we do.
Yes, that is correct, is that if people do not complete the decennial census, and then essentially we could be losing out on funding, particularly if that funding is tied to a population count.
So then how does it connect with the amount of seats that we have in different houses?
We know that the decennial census is rooted in the Constitution. We're in Article 1, Section 2. It is why we had the Great Compromise during the Constitutional Convention. It's why we have a bicameral House, a House of Representatives that's based on population for each state, and then also the Senate, which is an equal voice. And so the seats are allocated based on population. And so if we have every person living in the United States complete the decennial census, then those seats will be aligned correctly based on population. Is when we have individuals that do not complete the decennial census, they're essentially risking having their voice heard at the federal level.
So are there more voices at the federal level than being able to speak up for Butler County because we have those seats filled?
Well, it's, again, those number of seats. And I told you back in 2000, we lost two seats in the House of Representatives.
Okay.
In 2010, we lost another seat. speaking with our federal and state level elected officials, there's the potential that we're going to lose another seat in 2020.
Okay.
And so having an accurate count for the census will provide us with the best and most accurate data so that we have the allocation in the House of Representatives that we should.
Does it matter if it's Republican, Democrat? I know when people say houses and you get into the technological terms of the world you live in, it gets a little muddled for some folks who don't dive into the politics of our government every day. But what does that mean?
So that raises a really good point, is that since we are rooted in the Constitution and our first decennial census was conducted in 1790 and every decade since, we are apolitical. We are a government function here to have just complete one mission, and that is to count everyone living in the United States, count them once, and count them in the right location.
So we're not looking at Democrats and Republicans. We're looking at citizens of the United States, our country. That's what you're representing.
People living in the United States, that's what we're here to do. That's our primary mission.
Good. So this is going to come out, again, the notification starting in mid-March. And folks, then you would start seeing these other notifications if you didn't take action already and fill out the census. You mentioned to me something, though, door-to-door. Will people end up going door-to-door to say, hey, have you filled this out?
Yes, and that gets me to our primary need at the moment is hiring for the decennial census. After each resident, or I should say 95% of them, receive that first notification the week of March 13th, there'll be three other notifications through April. And then beginning 1 May, we start our non-response follow-up program. And we are looking for enumerators, or you might consider them the traditional door knockers, to go to those locations that have not completed the decennial census and encourage them to complete it. And so that operation lasts from the 1st of May through the end of July. At the end of July, we close our data gathering operation and create our statistical package. And then from there, in here in Butler County, we're actually still looking for about 1,000 applicants for our applicant pool to help us with that non-response follow-up program. And one operation that actually occurs the beginning, I should say the end of February, which is our group quarters operation. Here in Butler County, I can tell you that the field workers will be offered a position as a field worker earning $20 an hour. We also have an area census office in Cranberry Township. Those wages range from $13.50 to $20 an hour based on the position. The basic requirements for being an enumerator is they have to be 18 years old, they have to be a U.S. citizen, they will apply online at 2020census.gov/jobs. They'll apply online, and we actually start our selection process at the end of January. For the group quarters operation that I spoke of, they'll be trained, and then once the end of February hits, they'll be hired and performing some functions associated with that group quarters operation.
So the deadline would be the end of January.
We're looking for, we want to get the applicant pool filled as soon as possible.
Okay. So then can you walk us through what would happen when they come to our door? Because door-to-door sales is not as popular as back in the day, you know, when you still brought milk to the house, right?
Agreed.
And so now, of course, you know, we have to be careful of who's coming to our door. So can you talk about the identification that they would have? How do we know that they are with you and can verify that? And then walk us through what they're supposed to do. And what I mean by that is, are they supposed to come into our home and walk us through the census, or are they just there to remind us we notice that you haven't filled it out yet?
So the enumerators will have an official badge, probably on a lanyard around their neck. They will have a census bag, and most of them will be carrying iPads. And then from there, they'll knock on your door. They'll encourage you to complete the census. Now, while they're there at your residence, we are not to report on anything going on within that household. We're there to get a count of the people in that residence. And that is our only mission. And I need to stress that, because whether you have 14 cats or whatever the situation is going on within that residence, we cannot report on that. We are there just to have people complete the decennial census form.
And there are situations where, and I'm not saying indicating that you're there to do that, I'm just saying in life, you know, there would be officials coming to your house like police for certain reasons. Mm-hmm. But then there are some times where you're just catching me on an off day. It's like my house is going haywire and then there's somebody at my door. So again, I'm glad you're stressing that, because you're not there for any reason to check up on what's going on in the home.
Absolutely not. No, we are there to get a complete count of who is in that residence. We don't care if there's toys on the floor,
right,
or if the carpet needs vacuuming. We're not there for that purpose. We are there solely just to count the individuals in that household.
So I'm just curious on how you train people to do that door-to-door, because that can be a tough position. You're going up to homes mm-hmm. that you don't know. They don't know you, and people do want to be verified, and the homeowners want to feel safe that this is going on. How do you take those individuals who are working for you or will be working for you through the process of how to handle when you go up to a particular door?
Well, like I said, we start the selection process around the end of January. There is a training session that each enumerator will go through, understanding the do's and the don'ts. And that's why I'm basically here on the radio today. And we have our complete count committees in Butler County and also the city of Butler to help spread the word that the decennial census is coming. There will be notifications in the mail. And if you do not if a resident does not complete the decennial census, then there will be enumerators beginning the first week of May through the end of July that could come to your house to make sure that we meet our mission of counting everyone once and in the right location.
So for those folks who are thinking about maybe possibly getting this job with you, they're looking at May through July. Is that what you said?
Well, like I said, we'll start. Well, that's the non-response follow-up program.
Okay. Okay.
And so, but we will actually start. We have group quarters operation beginning the end of February, and so and that'll last for several weeks, and then the non-response follow-up operation lasts for approximately 90 days.
And as in any job, you will do your faithful duty in making sure that these are the appropriate people that are coming to your house. But should there be an individual out there with a certain background, is there a certain background you're looking for, whether it's in the legal field or whether it's, I keep saying legal field because I think, well, government too, you know, if they've held a government position or something, you know, do we have to understand the government in and out to be able to get one of these jobs?
Absolutely not. As I said, the basic requirements is they
have
to be
a broadcaster.
You can be a broadcaster.
All right.
You have to be 18 years old.
Okay.
You have to be a U.S. citizen. Once you apply online, you get into the applicant pool. We start making our selection at the end of January. There is a background check. So there is fingerprinting required. There's a background check that is conducted at the national level. From there, the selection process is made. They go through training. I've been talking to residents in Butler County for about the last 10 months, and I can tell you that the applicants that we've already received, a lot of them are looking for a secondary income, or they're looking for a catch-up income, or it's just their sense of civic duty. And it's been refreshing to see that there are so many concerned citizens out there who understand the importance of the decennial census, how it affects our decision-making for our elected officials over the next decade. It's also used for businesses, hospitals, emergency services. It's that important. This is our big data gathering. And so having people here in Butler County apply to be an enumerator or part of the census project that happens once every decade and touching upon their civic duty has been both eye-opening and refreshing for us.
Let me just ask you one more question and then I'll let you go. Dr. Lehman is with us, the partner specialist with the U.S. Department of Commerce, the Bureau of Census, talking about the census that is coming here in a couple of months and with a reminder starting in mid-March. I know we talked about kind of that lead up to our area getting money if that would be the end result, you know, with more people in those positions and advocating and money coming our way. When we're on this end of it, though, if you are the hospital or if you are the school or you are you applying in a certain way for the money that would come to the county, or does that just filter to programs that are already in effect here in the county?
It really depends on the institution. It really depends on where that funding is coming, because there's also state funding involved, too, that is based on decennial census information. And so that is probably the best answer that I can give you. It really depends on the program, the funding, the source of the funding, and the institution that's applying for it.
You're in the first end of this. That would be the back end of it, whenever the money would come our way here in Butler County. Dr. Lehman, thank you for your time. I just want to ask you your final thoughts on what you want us to make sure that we remember as you leave today.
I would say that right now we are hiring and offering $20 an hour for field operations, and that there is a area census office in Cranberry Township that is also hiring some administrative positions. Their salary range is $13.50 to $20 an hour. And lastly, that the decennial census is coming up, and for this decennial census, it is easy, it is safe, and it's important to our community.
And you are in this area that you mentioned, Cranberry Township. It's one of those things that I think when we talk about government, we think you're all in Harrisburg or Washington, D.C., or, you know, but you're right here in the area in Cranberry
Township.
I am here.
So.
Yeah, local. Dr. Lehman, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, thank you very much for joining us on this segment as well. If you have any questions, of course, you know, you can look up that information online. It's 2020census.gov.
Correct.
All right, very good. All right, folks, you have a good afternoon. We are out of time for the day, so I'm going to let you go at this point. We will be back on Monday. Dave is going to take another day off, so I'll be here in the morning with you throughout the news, and we'll do It's Your Turn in the afternoon. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
This is Michael Crowley inviting you to join me for a Christmas Eve special on 680 WISR. From 2 to 6 o'clock, I'll be spinning lots of great Christmas music, from forgotten favorites like the Ramsey Lewis Trio to Christmas classics like Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee. That's 2 to 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, right here on 680 WISR.
Miller's Shoes, South Main Street, downtown Butler, where families have been shopping for value and quality for over a century. In fact, for 127 years, believe it or not. Just think about that. Miller's Shoes, 127 years. Downtown Butler, they're your headquarters for famous name brand shoes that you know are going to last. We're talking about Timberland shoes and boots, by the way. Great as we head into the cold weather season, Timberland. They also have Rockports, they've got Trotters, they've got Hush Puppies, they've got men's and women's slippers. Where do you find slippers? Miller's Shoes. And a complete selection of athletic shoes for everybody in the family, men, women, teens, kids. They've got all the famous name brands right there under one roof. Nike and New Balance and Saucony and Rockport and Keds and Skechers and Easy Spirit and Asics and ProPet. They got them all right there. Miller's also your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes. Miller's Shoes, 127 years, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler.
Plan ahead. We've all learned from experience that living day to day can lead to too many last-minute surprises. Surprises that are often difficult and frustrating to handle. And so it is with a funeral. Planning a proper funeral takes pre-planning, so that during periods of grieving and turmoil, you'll want those arrangements to already be taken care of. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler has been pre-planning funerals for more than 90 years, and the third generation of the same family is here to help you with that planning process now. Make these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church service or not, all these decisions can be made now before your emotions get in the way of logical and practical decisions. Pre-plan now with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us and meet with us to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706. 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Because we care.
The Rock Night starts section play this Friday night, and WISR will be there. Hi, everyone. This is Scott Briggs inviting you to join me as Knock hosts the Mount Pleasant Vikings to get section play underway. We'll be on the air at about 7:15 as we talk with head coach Ron McNabb. 7:30, we're live for the tip-off at Knock High School. Knock basketball here on WISR, presented in part by the John Thrower Cement Corporation of Saxonburg, the law firm of Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham, Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, United Plate Glass in Butler, Butler County District Attorney Rich Goldinger, Troy Allen Chevrolet in Slippery Rock, and Troy Allen Buick in Katanning, the law firm of Conlon Tarker, and Heffron Tillotson's Mike McKee. It's Knock Basketball Friday night, the Knights and the Mount Pleasant Vikings, right here on WISR, WISR680.com, and as always on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.
The
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
It's Christmas time in the city.